Are our dreams just random images fired from an unconscious brain during sleep? Or something much more important, like life-saving inner guidance? How dreams can be healing and early warning tools for disease, financial crisis, or success? And love is still one of the behavioral science's greatest unanswered questions. Hello, I'm your host, author Kat O'Keefe Canavis. Welcome to Dreaming Healing, where dreams and cutting-edge scientific research meet on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Dreaming Healing is every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, when you can call in and ask Kat questions about your amazing dreams. Talk on air. Call toll-free 833-220-1200. That's 833-220-1200. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to my show, My Heart, My Home. I'm so glad you're here. This show is live video right now. So if you're only listening and you want to watch, go to my website, The Queen of Dreams, or www.KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com. Look in the top right-hand corner. You'll see some buttons there, and one of them will say Dream Vision 7. Click that. It will turn Dream Vision 7, and you'll see the directions right there to watch. So is science catching up to our past? Quantum spirituality has been a part of our lives since the beginning of time, but now we are proving it truly exists. We had a bit of that on the last show with James Redfield when he was talking about the Celestine prophecies. And our guest tonight, Peter Canova, is also a multi-award-winning author, and he's here to explain and discuss quantum spirituality, the title of his latest book. But first, that's right, we've got to start the show off with my favorite protection and clearing meditation. So if you're driving right now, please don't close your eyes. If you're listening to us on your radio in your car, don't close your eyes. It will still work. The rest of you, what we're going to do, if you're new to this show, we're going to take in three deep breaths of life. And we're going to let any negativity that might be left over within us, in our minds, our thoughts, our bodies, we're going to blow it out across the room into the purple flames of Saint Germain, where it's going to be converted into positive, beautiful golden energy and returned to the universe. And then we're going to take a power gift. And that power gift can be anything that was given to you in a dream or a vision by a deceased loved one, by your guardian angels, your guides. And we're going to use that to build a mirrored bubble around us that's not going to let anything in. Only that which is of the highest and best for us, brought by our spirit guides, will be able to come into that bubble. Okay, ready? All right, get set, you know, just kind of settle into your chair, close your eyes, feel yourself being centered. Take a deep breath in, hold it, feel your lungs completely fill up with that breath of life. Hold it. Now blow it out across the room into the purple flame of Saint Germain. Again, deep breath in. Imagine any tiny specks of negativity, something someone said to you that's been eating at you, something you said to somebody else. Blow it out across the room right into that purple flame of Saint Germain. One more time. Deep breath in. Any of those little negativities that are stubborn and won't get out of there, they're sucked in there right now. Blow it out across the room into the purple flame of Saint Germain. Imagine it going up, beautiful golden light into the universe. Now, imagine holding your power gift in your hand. Swing it around you and create this beautiful mirrored bubble, just like a regular bubble you see that you blow and all the colors are all over it, but this one has roving mirrors all over it. And this bubble will only allow that which is of the highest and best to come in, brought by your spirit guides and guardian angels, because they're there to protect you. Everything else is reflected back from whence it came. We wish it so, and therefore it is. When you're ready, slowly, slowly open your eyes. In the meantime, you can just listen to me. Is science catching up to our past? Quantum spirituality has been a part of our lives since the beginning of time, but now we are proving that it truly exists. Multi-award-winning author Peter Canova is here tonight to share his research and stories about how quantum spirituality is not a New Age concept, but rather reality being scientifically and spiritually discovered in modern times. It's a bit of Back to the Future. So, from the time he first experienced phenomena such as telepathy, remote viewing, intuitive medical readings, and psychic healings, Peter Canova has spent much of his life seeking to understand the forces that link humanity together at a very unseen level. Peter's international business background, luxury hotel development, shipping, and import exporting carried him all around the world, giving him an insider's view of international politics, finances, and the mentality of foreign cultures. Athens, Rome, London, the Middle East, Thailand, and Africa were his playgrounds that melded his business, political, and economic intrigues, giving him real life stories that could make bestsellers in and of themselves. In each of these venues, Peter also met a variety of spiritual figures whom appeared in his life unsolicited and confirmed his conviction that spirit transcends the religious beliefs that tend to divide people. Law and love of spirit unites them. Welcome to the show, Peter Canova.
Hi, Kat, and hi, everybody. It's nice to be here with you.
So, Peter, let's start with a really obvious question. And for those of you listening, remember, this is a live show. You can call in to Peter with questions. We had quite a few questions on our last show with James Redfield. Feel free to call in and ask Peter any questions you may have. But I'm going to start out with the first obvious one. Peter, what is your definition of quantum spirituality?
Well, it's pretty much what it says. There's a real connection between quantum science and ancient spirituality. And the reason being that really when you take a look of all the sciences, you take a look at quantum physics, and it is most concerned with the forces that govern the material world. And because of that pursuit, they have to knock up against the door of, well, where did we come from? How did all this get here? Unlike chemistry or other things that don't particularly concentrate on questions like that, quantum physics is by necessity, almost by definition, led to deal with issues like how did we get here? What is the nature of consciousness? What happened before the Big Bang? What are the forces that govern and the operation of this world? And obviously that was the focus of so many of the ancient spiritual seers and the spiritual traditions. So there's a real intersection, I think, between the two. And that's kind of the path that I've been walking, crossing through that intersection.
You know, I know that this book on quantum spirituality is not your first book. You've written a number of other books, and I see them behind you. Can you tell us a little bit, just quickly, about your other books? And it looks like you have awards.
Yeah, the fictional trilogy I wrote is called The First Souls Trilogy. It has won 25 significant awards, which is pretty unusual to even win a couple, but they were well received by critics and judges. And the books are, I call them spiritual thrillers. They're about the first souls to fall from the dimension of higher consciousness into the material world. And they keep reincarnating at critical ages of human history when humanity will either evolve or fall back into darkness. The first book, Pope Annalisa, is about an African nun who becomes Pope during an impending nuclear war between America and Iran, sort of eerily current. I hope it doesn't really happen, but she becomes the target of both Islamic terrorists and her own cardinals, who believe she is reintroducing a suppressed Gnostic heresy from the earliest eras of Christianity. The second book, The 13th Disciple, is set in biblical times, and it really deals more with the story and history of Mary Magdalene and the early female leaders of the church, and it exposes the suppressed secret teachings of Jesus, which were suppressed by the Roman church in the very early eras of Christianity. The final book, The Light of Distant Suns, is actually the book of origins. It's how the first souls came into this dimension from the spirit world to found an advanced prehistoric civilization, kind of think of Atlantis in a way, on an island continent that eventually became doomed by a vicious civil war between the sons of light and the sons of darkness. Those souls who had retained their remembrance and awareness of their origins, and those souls who had fallen into complete forgetfulness of what they were, who they were, and descended into all kinds of nasty, evil things. So really, but overall, the story is really about the origin, destiny, and purpose of humanity. And that kind of really sums up the overall thrust and body of my work.
And so how many awards have you won? Because I see a bunch of them hanging down there on your books. How many do you have?
Yeah, there were 25 awards, including Writer's Digest, Nautilus, Eric Hoffer. One of the most recent awards was the Indie Award for Best Book Series, which was the first of its kind, the first award of its kind that I got, which encompassed all three books, looking at them as a series. So that was very nice.
Mm. So these first three books that you wrote are novels, so they're fiction, but the book that we're talking about tonight, Quantum Spirituality, is nonfiction. Is that right?
That's correct. That'll be my first nonfiction book. But in a way, they're very closely related. Because the nonfiction book really is kind of the spiritual and scientific underpinning of the fictional novels. I mean, the themes of the three novels really, you know, derive from the material that I've researched in this book over years.
Mm-hmm. So you seem to be merging not only fiction and nonfiction, but some fairly diverse currents in your life. You come from an international business background, but you became a writer and speaker on a spiritual path. You specialized in ancient spiritual texts, but also quantum physics. And what made you decide
right
to do this? People don't go from building hotels to writing about quantum spirituality.
Yeah, I'm a very unlikely candidate to be where I am today. There's no doubt about it. It really started back in the 70s. I'm dating myself here a little bit, but I went through a course that was supposed to enhance what we used to call extrasensory perception. It's kind of a term that's fallen out of use today, but really it was about psychic abilities and so forth. And I guess I went to it because I was always a person who was kind of questioning, you know, all the deep questions. What's life about? Why am I here? I have my own little sense of alienation, you know, as a teenager and everything else. And I guess I was looking for answers. And I thought that, you know, maybe there's something to this whole business of meditation, different altered consciousness and so forth. Well, to my great surprise, in the middle of the course, I found out that I was a highly accurate medical intuitive. I was able to diagnose illnesses, whether they were physical or mental illnesses, just by getting the name, age, and address of a person with no other information. That really kind of shocked me in a way. And it actually opened up a whole new pathway in my life. I started to experience phenomena like clairvoyance, clairaudience, psychometry, psychokinesis, remote viewing, These started to become an everyday part of my life. And here I am, really, you know, this perplexed guy in business school trying to figure out, whoa, you know, what's going on here? And I guess because I'm a Capricorn, I said, okay, I know this stuff is happening. I know it's real, but now I need to understand the nuts and bolts behind it. Well, you know, how does this happen? And that's probably what led me into the scientific arena to study quantum physics, because I thought that there would be some answers there, and there were. So I merged these two streams in my life, the experiential spiritual phenomena and the theoretical research of quantum physics. And I found that there was a remarkable overlay between the two, shocking to me, especially with Gnosticism, because I think out of all the different branches of the ancient spiritual tradition, which I could speak about if you'd like, but of all those ancient branches of that tradition, Gnosticism was almost, you could say, a proto-scientific or proto-psychological approach, and that predicted so many of our modern theories of psychology and quantum physics, and I can give very specific examples whenever you would like, but it was really quite shocking to me. So I thought, where there's smoke, there's fire, and you know, I was really on to something, and I pretty much dedicated the last decade of my life to putting all this together in a way that I could try and explain this to people, because I have to tell you, when you read these ancient texts, they're very arcane, and unless you have a scholarly background and a studious background like I had that consisted of decades, you really need to interpret them in the context of their time to understand what they were really saying. In effect, you had to sort of decode them. And then obviously quantum physics can get pretty abstract and mind-blowing, because so much of what we find is counterintuitive to our observation of what's around us. So I kind of said, okay, Peter, your task in life is to make all this stuff intelligible to people, put it in a way that they can understand, make it, you know, simplify it as much as it can possibly be simplified, and tell that story.
Mm. That you know, that's amazing, because you're talking about going into depth here. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to ask you. So Gnosticism involves a large part of your research in not just the book that you're doing now on quantum spirituality, but your novels that you wrote as well that are behind you. Can you tell us about why you chose Gnosticism over or among the other ancient traditions, and how you weave that through the book? Is it throughout all four books?
Yes, most definitely it's throughout all four books. And Gnosticism was actually the Western branch of the ancient mystery schools, which stretched across the civilized world. And by that, I mean literally from India all the way to the British Isles. They all had their different local branches, let's say, of this spiritual tradition, which some people call the perennial philosophy. Now, even though there were different nuances according to different cultures and different ages, there are certain principles or precepts that are common to all of them that kind of stand out. And to give you a quick list of that, consciousness is the only energy and substance that exists, although it projects itself as polar forces that they called male and female, or yin and yang. And the phenomenal material world that we live in is not fundamental, but it is a projected reality from this higher order. And the vehicle it uses to project itself is light energy. So light is intelligence. Light energy is the vehicle by which this master consciousness manifests itself. Humans are multidimensional creatures. We have a true self consisting of eternally existing parts of this master consciousness that formed everything in the world. And we have a projected ego self of limited awareness, which is a consciousness that we took on essentially to reside and survive in physical forms. Another thing they believed in was that no separation truly existed between the human souls and God or the supreme consciousness. The separation is an error of mind that can be connected. Now that is directly contradicting our traditional Judeo-Christian religious background that essentially says, well, there is a separation between humanity and God. We were stained with original sin, and you know, we're spending the rest of our lives trying to catch up and be in God's good graces as if God was something separate and apart for ourselves. What they're saying is, no, that's not true. We are already part of that supreme consciousness. The only error or sin involved was us believing that we're separated from it, okay? Which is not an actuality, but an illusion or a perception that can be corrected. Using intuition, imagination, knowledge, intention, faith in a balanced manner can allow one to break out of space and time and history to acquire enlightened information from the higher dimensions beyond space-time. The ancient wisdom tradition fully believes in this, and this is exactly what the ancient seers did in their meditative practice. They literally transcended space-time to bring information back from dimensions of higher consciousness. So all humans possess this capacity to transcend the ego illusions of space, time, and history and reawaken to the higher conscious unity of all things and gain knowledge or direct experience of their own hidden higher state of being. And finally, this tradition told us that the primary purpose of each person is to reawaken to the higher consciousness within themselves, the spark of the divine that exists within us, and recognize the illusory nature of material experience so that our consciousness now becomes merged with a higher faculty and we experience, basically, we become homo superiosus. We transcend normal everyday consciousness and experience what some people have called enlightenment. So I settled on Gnosticism because out of all the nuances of this sacred tradition, the insights of the Gnostic seers were incredibly precise and easily translatable into today's quantum science and psychology.
Okay, great. Don't go away. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to ask Peter Canova to tie dreams. He's talking about meditation. We're going to ask him to tie dreams into this quantum spirituality. You are listening to Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7Radio.com, and I'm your host, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, aka Cat. Don't go away.
Ever had a strange dream? Nautilus Award winner, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases by Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis and Duke University radiologist Dr. Larry Burke, forward by Dr. Bernie Siegel, shares how people like you self-advocated in the face of adversity and won using dreams. Read life-saving dream stories validated by medical reports. Hear how dreams of dead loved ones saved lives. Use interpretations and journaling as roadmaps in your waking world for health, wealth, and love. Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Buy the audio and book at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com in English and Italian worldwide and through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For over 40 years, Omega has seen more than 1 million people come through its doors to grow, learn, and find a greater sense of purpose. With over 350 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. Again, 877-944-2002.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Cannabis, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LaurarowleyHealer.com. healer.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Dreaming Healing. I'm your host, Kat Cannabis, and we're speaking with Peter Canova about quantum spirituality. And just before the break, we were talking about Gnosticism, and we were kind of tying it into spirituality, meditation, higher dimensions. So I wanted to ask you, Peter, how does Gnosticism, meditation, higher realms of consciousness, how do they tie into dreams?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to pretend to be a dream expert, but I do have a few insights on that. I think the first thing is we have to be aware that we aren't physical beings. We are energetic beings of consciousness residing in a physical form. But consciousness and energy isn't restricted to one point in space and time, or even within space and time. So what that really means is that we're multidimensional beings, and different aspects of ourselves dwell at different levels of consciousness. We have a higher self or higher selves. So my take on dreams is that are the dreams that come into our unconscious or subconscious minds are actually a function of the conscious mind of our higher selves that bleed down through and filter through. So in essence, the subconscious at our level becomes the conscious at a higher level. And therefore, because you're at a higher level, or a part of you is at a higher level that has a higher perspective. And think of it like this. If you have a tall building, if you're down more on the ground levels, you're only going to get a certain perspective. If you're 100 levels up, you're going to get a panorama. Our higher selves get that panoramic view. We're more down at the kind of myopic ground level view. So the information that comes through our dreams, through our subconscious or unconscious mind during our dreams, I believe is actually information that we're getting from our higher selves that certainly can be life-saving, at the very least, very informative. And that's kind of my take on how, you know, the dreams enter into the equation.
So, you know, your work involves, Gnosticism, and you write about it in all of your books. How does this all tie into with quantum physics now on the Earth plane?
Right. Well, that's almost too many things to relate in one interview. But look, the short answer is that over 2,000 years ago, Gnosticism predicted every major theory of quantum physics, such as the Big Bang, parallel universes, the holographic universe theory that we essentially live in a giant holographic projection a la the Matrix, energy matter conversion relating to the God particle and Einstein's E equals MC squared. They actually had a section in one of the texts that was so astoundingly a description of the God particle that was discovered in 2012, which is that force that converts energy to matter in our dimension. I won't go into it in detail here because we probably don't have time, but if you saw the actual descriptions of it, it's really eerie how accurately they were describing in non-technical terms the whole function of the God particle. As far as psychology is concerned, the founder of modern depth psychology, Carl Jung, said the Gnostics had already defined his major concepts, such as archetypes, the shadow, the ego, and the anima and animus in all people. These concepts that he used that he developed at the turn of the century. You know, I think his active years were probably from the 1920s until the 1950s, that the Gnostics had really covered all these things 2,000 years ago. So in my new book, Quantum Spirituality, I outlined some of the conclusions that were indicated by merging quantum theory and the Gnostic texts and what they were saying in common. And briefly, that was that a master consciousness permeates all creation. The consciousness is an intelligent energy that infuses and informs or forms all things, from an electron to a rock to the human mind. The conscious energy descended in frequencies that form parallel dimensions that affect our world. And when I say frequencies, I mean frequencies of consciousness. Another way to look at that is that the supreme consciousness, in order to create a sense of independent beings and independent souls, spread itself out, projected itself out through different frequencies of consciousness or limitations of consciousness. And it's through those limitations that we and other forms of consciousness think we're independently existing from the whole. It's because we have a limited perspective. There's no objective reality out there. Both the text and quantum physics are indicating to us that reality and the perception of 3D objects is really an electromagnetic projection by this conscious energy that we experience as images in our brain. However, if we were not around, these objects would not be around. We live in a simulated reality, as I said before, kind of like the Matrix. Our solid world is not solid, but it rather acts like a quantum holographic projection where all parts contain the image of the whole. Now, quantum physics extrapolated that from studies of the black hole, where they found out that the information or whatever was in the black hole, and think of it as, this is interesting, so let me just do a little quick sidebar here. Think of a bucket. And we would normally think of, let's say, our universe is inside that bucket, okay? So we would think that reality, all the information that forms reality, is on the inside of the bucket. Well, through the study of black holes, they learned that that's not the case. The information is not inside the volume of the bucket, it's actually outside on the skin or the surface area of the bucket, which is like a two-dimensional screen. And from there, the reality is projected inward as 3D objects. This is what happens with a black hole, and a lot of theoretical physicists think that this is kind of the basis for how our universe operates, that we're actually a projection from some higher source that projects this 3D world of ours, kind of like, well, you're in the movies, folks. Everybody's now a movie star, okay? We're all in our own holographic projection. So the idea that life and consciousness arose from matter has been kind of the mantra or the staple of materialistic science for a century. But it has no provable basis. Nobody has ever been able to explain how inorganic matter became organic consciousness. But the flip view, that everything proceeded from consciousness to materiality, solves every paradox that is noted in the quantum world, like quantum entanglement, where two particles that are the equivalent of light years apart react instantaneously. Whatever happens to one happens to the other. Well, how does that happen? No one can explain that. However, if we believe that consciousness is the basis for all things, excuse me, we had a little mishap here, computer mishap here. All right, just a second, I'm gonna readjust this. My little computer stand here has malfunctioned. All right, I'm gonna try and hold this stuff by hand. We'll do this manually. So anyway, the idea that if consciousness is really the basis for everything, it explains this quantum entanglement, because these two particles reacting light years apart are simply two parts of the same whole. And that's how they know what one of the other are doing.
Mm. So, you know, this all brings up to my mind and my consciousness, the fact that you were on Deepak Chopra's event, We Are Never Alone, which kind of brought to the forefront the fact that many of us right now during this time are feeling very isolated. We're feeling very alone. There's a lot of thought of returning to where we were before we were born through the concept of suicide. If we do indeed create our own environment and our consciousness is multidimensional, what would you say to people right now who are very, you know, they're struggling in their consciousness to exist and to get through these difficult times?
When a person has deep thoughts of depression and suicide, it is very, very hard to reach them because, well, nobody's problems are as great as my problems. Nobody understands what I'm going through. It's a very isolating experience. And it actually comes, I think all of us have the seeds of an existential crisis in us. And that existential crisis is that when we separated from the whole, when we descended from this master consciousness in these limited frequencies in order to think that we're individuals, we lost our sense of unity, or unity with the whole, unity and connection with each other. And when you think about it, that's the existential crisis of humanity. We don't know where we came from, we don't know where we're going, and we don't know why we're here. So the seeds of this separation, which is, I think, a lot of what leads to the depression and the anxiety we have, becomes exacerbated in the minds of people who are suicidal. And that, it's hard to reach people without being abstract about it. Certainly, I think that looking for the early warning signs in your friends or loved ones and a strong intervention at that point is absolutely critical. I know from experiences of my own family, I had some history of suicide in my family. And I think at one point when I was going through a very tough time in my life, I was even thinking about it. The one thing, well, a couple things probably saved me. First of all, I had the experience of seeing what suicide does, and it ripples on down through generations. It leaves its mark for generations to come. Wasn't really kind of the legacy that I wanted to really leave, because the biggest victims are the ones who really are left behind. The other thing that probably pulled me out of it was that in the meditative practice I had, one time in my life, I had this vision. I was in a semi-lucid state, and there was this tremendously bright light that engulfed me. And I had the greatest sense of peace that I have ever had then and now. It was a sense of surrender to something that I knew was a power that was good, that would help me. And that experience stuck with me all my life. In fact, you asked me earlier how I got into what I'm doing. It was from that one single moment that happened to me. And I probably never had a moment again as clear, but that one single moment altered the entire course of my life. And I recall that during my greatest time of despair. And I realized it infused me with a sense of confidence that no matter what appearances told me today, that I knew that we could have a better tomorrow. I could have a better tomorrow. And that probably saved me. So I guess what I'm saying is the best medicine is preventative. Develop some kind of practice now to inoculate yourself against these bad times.
Great advice. We're getting ready to go into another break in a couple of minutes, but I wanted you to share with our audience how they can get in touch with you, and also if you're going to have on your website this event that you did with Deepak Chopra called Never Alone, because I know that you are one of the 24 speakers. Mm-hmm.
I hope to. We're still waiting to hear about getting some excerpts from that we can put on our site. But the best way to reach me is go to my website, petercanova.com. That's PETERCANOVA.com. That website also leads to a couple other websites I have that specifically cover materials for my books, like Pope Annalisa, the 13th Disciple, gives a little bit of information about my forthcoming book, Quantum Spirituality. That will open up a portal to a number of videos and other articles and materials I've done that I think people would really enjoy reading. They're very informative.
So your book's Quantum Spirituality, do you have the book cover on your website if people want to see what the book looks like?
Yes, it's on the homepage of my website. Down, just scroll down a little bit and you'll see it.
Mm-hmm. Great. So we still have a couple of minutes, so I wanted you to talk a little bit about the difference between traditional religion and spirituality. What do you see as the biggest difference and those things that you point out in your book? Do you use anything with those differences in your book?
Yeah, especially the first book, Pope Annalisa of the Trilogy, deals a lot with that topic. I just want to make one thing clear. I am not a religion basher. I believe that there's a lot of good aspects of all religions. There obviously are some drawbacks too. But if you want me, generally speaking, to describe what I feel the differences are, I would say this. Religion, imagine yourself as being on a journey, you're on a path. And as you're walking this path, you come across different places. Religion would be a place where you go in and they say, hey, there's no need to go on any further. We've got all the answers in our little box here, so stay here. That would be religion. Now, I think the spiritual person would say thank you and continue on. And the spiritual way stations that person goes through are more transparent. They enter in there knowing that there's something they can take out of there, but they can also exit knowing that there's greater knowledge that can supersede what they know lying ahead. So I see religion as a little bit of a closed loop or a closed box, and I see spirituality being more an open-ended journey.
Great answer. So, you know, don't go away. You are listening to Dreaming Healing on Dream Vision 7. Syndicated DreamVision7RadioNetwork.com. And I'm your host and author, Kat Canavas. And we are speaking with Peter Canova about his latest book. And as soon as we come back, we're going to ask him some more questions. And I may focus on some of the tricks and techniques he used to write all these books. So you writers and authors, don't go away.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canavas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Ever had a strange dream? Nautilus Award winner, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, by Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas and Duke University radiologist Dr. Larry Burke, forward by Dr. Bernie Siegel, shares how people like you self-advocated in the face of adversity and won using dreams. Read life-saving dream stories validated by medical reports. Hear how dreams of dead loved ones saved lives. Use interpretations and journaling as roadmaps in your waking world for health, wealth, and love. Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Buy the audio and book at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com in English and Italian worldwide and through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers.
Have you met your physician within yet? The Nautilus and multi-award-winning book, Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, is a memoir that takes you down the rabbit hole of healing dreams and interpretations, mixed with conventional medicine and treatments. Listen to the hookah-puffing caterpillar ask, "Who are you?" Dr. Bernie Siegel says Kathleen's story is powerful, honest, and eye-opening. Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing by three-time breast cancer survivor Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Buy the book and audio at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers. Darkest hours to brightest moments. Transformation from despair to happiness. And chaos to clarity. Real people, real pain, real healing. Life-threatening illness, death, abusive relationships, divorce, and overcoming addiction are challenges these men and women faced head-on. See how they emerged stronger and happier. Buy the new book, Chaos to Clarity, Sacred Stories of Transformational Change by Reverend Patricia Caginello and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available on sacredstoriespublishing.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7.com. I'm your host, author, and video podcaster, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, but my friends all call me Kat, so I hope you do too. Our guest tonight is Peter Canova, and we're talking about quantum spirituality, other realities, religion, spirituality, you name it. We've covered the gamut. But the one thing that we have not talked about yet was the challenges of writing award-winning books. So, you know, I want to ask you, Peter, what was your biggest challenge of writing all of these books? You've got four books there, and you're not just writing books. Like some people just write books to write books. Your books are winning profound book awards. The Nautilus Book Award is an international huge award. The Dalai Lama has won that award. Prince Charles has won that award. What tip would you give to our listeners tonight who spend hours on end writing, just hoping that they can someday become published and win a book award? What can you share with them?
Well, my approach to writing books, I think, was very atypical. So I'm probably not the best example in the world of how one normally becomes an author from some other walk of life. I guess the best thing I can say is write what you feel strongly about. To connect in any medium in the entertainment world, whether it's through films, books, or whatever, the whole purpose is to connect emotionally with your audience, to give them an emotional experience. Hopefully an uplifting experience. I try to make mine uplifting. It can go the other way in modern cinema these days. But I think that you have to identify a passion that you have. And it really doesn't matter what that passion is, because if you feel strongly enough about it, that is going to give you the kindling wood, the impetus to begin your writing journey. I think the second thing I would say is you want to have a sense that what you're writing about is something meaningful and impactful to other people. I used to say to myself that ultimately, you know, you write your books for yourself because you never really know how anyone is going to react to them. Writing is a lonely profession. You know, you sit there in a little room and you type away and nobody's standing over your shoulder saying, yeah, that works, that doesn't work, you know, that's good, that's bad, whatever. It's something that you really have to learn in essence by trial and error. That's craft. But what I'm saying is that if you have a passion for something and you also have a desire to communicate that to people because you think that in some way it can be beneficial or helpful to them, that is a great start to writing. The rest of it, you know, you really have to go through like anything else. It's a craft. You have to learn. I would say attending writers' conferences can be good. There's also some negatives about writers' conferences, but learning the basic skills of writing. Some people, like myself, I'm fortunate, writing came very natural to me, so I didn't need a lot of tutoring. Other people can be great writers, but they need more mentoring. So you should seek out people that can help you do that. But like I say, I think at the end of the day, the best writing doesn't come from the head. It comes from the heart. It's an emotional exercise that you articulate in the form of words and try and convey that feeling and experience you're having so that others can feel and experience what you're trying to communicate.
I think that's a great writing tip. And if I'm going to share a dream tip tonight, it would be to set your intention to have your spirit guides, guardian angels, other selves come into your dreams and help you with your writing. So make sure you've got a pencil and paper beside your bed so that you can write that information down, because it's amazing that once you open up those dream doors, all that information that you might end up wanting to put into a book will come flooding through. Peter, do I understand correctly that you're considering doing a video podcast or a podcast on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network?
Yeah, that's definitely in the offing. I hope sometime, maybe in the next 60 days or so, to launch that. It will be quantum spirituality. That will be the subject matter of it, as we've talked about here tonight. But I'm going to have guests, and we're going to go into depth in a wide variety of subjects. But I promise my audience that the angle I have, which is what I've always done, is to be very grounded and, you know, have a merger of science and spirituality. I'm not really one for a lot of out there kind of airy-fairy, you know, type of content. I think we're going to have a lot of interesting topics. We'll be speaking about things we spoke about here tonight. About what is the lost mystical tradition of Jesus, how that came about, where the evidence for that is in scriptures and other lost gospels. We'll be talking about the Gnostics, about the suppression of the early leaders, female leaders of the church, and the sacred feminine and what role that plays in terms of leading us to higher consciousness. We're going to be covering a lot of different interesting things in that podcast.
That's great. You know, I will definitely be tuning into that. And for those of
maybe
you,
maybe I'll have you as a guest.
then I can see if my computer crashes down on me.
Yeah. No, your disaster there tonight.
So, I just want to thank you so much for being on the show with us tonight. It's amazing how quickly the time flies. And thank you, audience, for making Dreaming Healing such a great success. If you don't want to share your dreams live with us, which happens on some of the other shows, you can email them to me on my website, thequeenofdreams.com. And if you're a writer, and you would love to be in the second Sacred Stories of Transformation book series that we're doing, Crappy to Happy. Yes, you heard me right, Crappy to Happy, in which I'm collaborating with Sacred Stories Publishing and Dennis Patoko, CEO of Biz Catalyst 360 Magazine, and Gina Mazza of Creative One Marketing. Go to sacredstoriespublishing.com, book project, or in the right upper hand corner of my website again, there's a button that says get published. Just click that button and it'll take you right there. And again, our big announcement that I made on the earlier show this evening is that James Redfield of the Celestine Prophecies is writing the foreword for the book. And he was very excited when I mentioned that on the show, and he was jumping up and down saying, yes, I'm going to. So I want you to know that this show tonight is going to be blogged on Pathos Above and Beyond the Five Senses and made into an article on my syndicated column in Biz Catalyst 360 Magazine, Living Your Dreams. And it's going to be posted on my Facebook professional page, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, author, speaker, dream expert. And for those of you living in the Palm Springs area, watch for my articles on dreams in the issues of Desert Health. Until next time, everyone dreams, but remember, some dreams save lives. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this evening, and a big thanks to our producer. Tune in next time to Dreaming Healing for more cutting-edge research, live dream interpretations, and stories with radio host and award-winning author Kat O'Keefe Canavas. Listen every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time with call-in live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Remember, everyone dreams, but some dreams save lives. Live your dreams. Find more about Kat at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com. That's Kathleen with a K. O-K-E-E-F-E-K-A-N-A-V-O-S. Or the Queen of Dreams on Google search.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.